Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 40. Now, in the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we have further instructions concerning the regulation of spiritual gifts in the church, including specific instructions concerning the role of women in the church. Let's begin by reading verses 26 through 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 26. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let's begin our study of this portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with some background notes. In the first half of this chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we saw that the Corinthian Christians were placing an undue amount of attention and emphasis on the gift of tongues. Because the gift of tongues was more dramatic than some of the other gifts, it easily led to pride and self-display and self-glory. And that problem was certainly present at Corinth. In fact, as we read through this chapter, it's hard to miss the point that things were out of control in the Corinthian church, largely due to the misuse of the gift of tongues. Not only was there pride and jealousy concerning the gift of tongues, and not only were the Corinthians wrongly elevating this gift above the more important gift of prophecy, but they were exercising this gift in a disorderly way in the church. Too many Corinthian Christians were exercising this gift at the same time, and many without interpretation. So the Apostle Paul, in no uncertain terms in this chapter, shows that there are limits and regulations to the use of spiritual gifts in the church. We saw in our discussion of the first half of this chapter that there were three limitations to the use of the gift of tongues in the church. Number one, the limit of interpretation. The gift should only be used in public if there is interpretation, so that the whole church can be edified. Number two, the limit of priorities. The gift of tongues is low on the priority lists of gifts that edify the whole church. And number three, the limit of order. The gift of tongues should be under control at all times, so that there is no disorderly conduct in the church at any time. Now, this matter of order in the church is so important that in the second half of the chapter, further regulations are given for proper conduct in the church, so that as we read in the last verse of the chapter, everything will be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Well, that brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So doctrinal point number one, the priesthood of all believers should be practiced in the church today. The priesthood of all believers should be practiced in the church today. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. In the early church, there was no clergy. There were no ordained preachers or teachers as there are today. The early churches were not characterized as having only one minister or one pastor. In the early church, they did not have liturgical or highly structured services. In the early church, the priesthood of all believers was emphasized and practiced. That is, all church members were encouraged to use their spiritual gifts in various ministries and opportunities. Well, the same should be true today. Churches today have various forms of church government and structure and order of services, etc., but every church today should allow for the gifts of all believers to be exercised under the biblical regulations. Illustration. You know, I once had a Christian man tell me that he loved his church, and several times he wanted to share with the church an encouraging word that he had received from the Lord. But he was not able to do so because there was no opportunity given to him from the powers that be. This is a sad comment on that church. I know that this brother is gifted to teach the Bible and give an encouraging word from the Lord, but his spiritual gifts were being stifled. The priesthood of all believers should be practiced in the church today. Now, the danger of this biblical principle, of course, is that if there are no regulations and everyone just does his or own thing whenever they want, then there will be disorder and chaos. And so in the rest of this chapter, further regulations are given concerning the practice of the priesthood of all believers. In reference to the gift of tongues, there were three regulations. Number one, at most, only three individuals should speak in tongues at any given worship service. Number two, no more than one person should speak in a tongue at any given time in the service. In other words, take turns. And number three, there must be interpretation, as we've already seen. In reference to the gift of prophecy, at most three prophets should speak and again in turn. And one speaker should not monopolize the time, but give way to the other prophets. This biblical regulation shows that spiritual gifts are under the control of the individual. There is no idea in the Bible of spiritual gifts being out of control, such as, well, I just couldn't help myself from speaking and disrupting and being out of control. The Holy Spirit made me do it. No, that's an unbiblical explanation and excuse. In verse 32, we read, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, that is, both in control and content of the prophecy. The prophet rules and governs what he says. The prophecy will be in line with the word of God, and the way it's delivered will not lead to confusion in the church, but rather peace. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. These regulations control and regulate the priesthood and use of spiritual gifts. The priesthood of all believers should be practiced in the church today. Doctrinal point number two, God's structure of authority should be practiced in the church today. God's structure of authority should be practiced in the church today. Verses 34 through 40. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it to you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. If you read the commentaries on this portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you will find that there are a number of different interpretations for verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. Some commentaries say that it was only a regulation for the church at Corinth. But the word for church here is plural, and the end of verse 33, which seems to properly go with verse 34, shows that it was a regulation for all churches. Other commentaries say that the word for speak here means chattering, and the women at Corinth were to refrain from chattering, especially with their husbands, during the church services. But the Greek word for speak here in verse 34 is the same Greek word that's used for speak in the rest of the chapter, in reference to tongues and prophecy, so it is not limited to chattering. Now, one possible view is that the women were not to speak during the time when the prophets were questioned by the saints about the revelations that they had received from the Lord. If they had questions about these prophecies, they should discuss these matters at home, not at the church. Verse 35. And then there is the position that holds that the silence of women refers to all speaking in all church services. But this, of course, must be harmonized with 1 Corinthians 11, which indicates that women were praying and prophesying in the church at Corinth. So we see that the interpretation of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, is not as easy as one might think. There is some room for discussion. However, we know from 1 Timothy chapters 2 and 3 that women should not be the spiritual leaders in the church, nor should they be the upfront preachers or teachers in the church services. The structure of authority with male leadership in the church should be maintained as God ordained it. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. And then, in 1 Timothy 2, the inspired writer, that is the Apostle Paul, goes on to use a creation argument, not merely an illustration from creation, but a creation argument, for his basis showing that these directives were not just for the first century churches, but normative for church services today. So the regulation concerning the silence of women in churches in 1 Corinthians 14:34 certainly includes preaching and teaching in church services today, and certainly involves a recognition of the authority structure that God has ordained. God's structure of authority should be practiced in the church today. Now, what about practical application from the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Don't pull Galatians 3:28 out of context. Don't pull Galatians 3:28 out of context. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Some Christians have pulled this verse out of context and said that in Christianity, there is no longer any role distinction between men and women in the church as there was in the Old Testament. Nothing could be further from the truth. The context of Galatians 3:28 is salvation, not the structure of authority in the church. In salvation, there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, or slaves and free, or men and women. But we see from 1 Corinthians 14:34 that there is a role distinction between men and women in the church, and the structure of authority that was in the Old Testament, ordained from creation and recognized in the law, continues in the church today. So don't pull Galatians 3:28 out of context.